Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 24. This might sound like a funny passage to get to for Mother's Day. Luke 24. It's a familiar passage, right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I think you'll see something here. A couple little thoughts. It's somewhat of a shotgun message. I got several things I want you to see in here. But I think it'll be a blessing to us here this morning. Again, I want to tell you how much I appreciate everybody being here. I know we had a lot of folks who went elsewhere to be a blessing to their mothers. And so I understand that. But a lot of folks came this way. I really appreciate it. Luke chapter 24. Let's look at verse number 1, if you will. 24:1. Now, of course, Jesus has been crucified. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. The ladies now, after the Sabbath day, can now go to the tomb, and they're going to finish preparing the body of Christ. So that's what they're doing. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone in front of the tomb, rolled away from the sepulcher, tomb, whatever you want to call it there. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And we're going to stop right there. And we're talking this topic this morning. Listen to the ladies. Listen to the ladies. Let's pray, and I think we'll have a good time here. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you where you take care of us, and Lord, we thank you for our ladies. You said when you created man, it was good. But when you created woman, you brought her to the man, you said it was very good. It was complete. And Lord, we know that that's the way your design is. In fact, Lord, any effort to subvert your design is not something we should be involved in. You made us like you've made us, and we're yours. Male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, two becoming one flesh. To go about, and as you said, to go forth and multiply. And Lord, every time a new baby is born, it brings honor and glory to you, because in you is life. So Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us here this morning. Again, I've got a variety of things I want to say, but pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Get each of us what we need. May your Holy Spirit move. Lord, I want to be at your disposal here this morning. And so each of us come with different needs, different desires. Maybe we need to be encouraged. Maybe we need to be rebuked, corrected, instructed. But we need to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord, speak to our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. This is actually a message kind of about interaction between men and women. And I know the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 that it says, I suffer not a woman to teach, usurp authority over men, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. I know that. However, women are not idiots. They may have some things that we need to listen to. In fact, it seems like there's some things that a woman can do that a man just can't do. I remember my mom, she had a fly swatter. Now, what are you assuming? You're assumed right. Now, sometimes she bent that thing trying to get me, and of course, she wasn't there to hurt me. She was, oh, I'll tell you, stung. But I'll tell you what stung even more was when I do something stupid, and she'd come over and she'd put her arm around me, and she'd say, now, Sterling, you're better than that. Oh, man, just get the fly swatter out. Because you just kind of, oh, my, whatever, you know. It's just some things that a woman can do. Now, this is not a deep theological discussion this morning. It's a very practical message. And basically, on living by truth, no matter who brings it up. Let me give you number one. And they're not necessary points, but I think you'll see where we are and kind of gives an outline of our message here. The ladies rise early to work. Now, that's not something all that brand new, is it? The ladies rise early to work. Look at what it says in Luke 24. It says, now upon the first day of the week, verily early in the morning, while most of the men were probably still in bed, that's in the Greek, in between the lines there, while most of the men were probably still in bed, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but I remember, like I said, getting up in the morning. My mom had already been up for probably a couple of hours, and she had already had her Bible out, had already studied her Bible. And you know what really got kind of disgusting? I'd mess up, and she'd have a Bible verse for it. I mean, not only did she say, now you're better than this, but then she'd throw some Bible verse in there. And by the way, the Word of God does not return void. And the Holy Spirit backs up your word. And when you're following God's word, he backs it up all the more. And so it's almost like she went, when she threw that Bible verse in there. She had a Proverbs or a Psalm or something or other. She'd throw it in there. Now, she would rise in the morning and she would do right. Now, in Proverbs 31, verse 15, and I know it talks about the virtuous woman. And I think that one of the last phrases talks about there's none like her. I really think it means no woman can add up to everything in the virtuous woman. Okay, we're all a little different, but here's some things that we should aim at. But in verse 15 of Proverbs 31, it says, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I've got a wife like that. At 5:30 in the morning, boop, she's up and she's gone. And at probably 7 o'clock, I'm resurrecting from the dead. And she just gets up. She's got the laundry in. She's already read her Bible. She's already done this. And there she is waiting. Like on Sunday morning, this morning, she's there waiting to fry my egg before I come in here to preach. And she was there reading her Bible it was something. And you know what? There are a lot of things the ladies do that we don't give them credit for. Sometimes we just kind of take advantage of our ladies. If something happens and a baby throws up, who do you call? Mom! Let's just say a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You've heard that old saying. But how about, you know, are you a homemaker? You know, they say, well, you're a homemaker and you stay at home, Mom. Oh, or do you work for a living? No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, most women enjoy taking care of their loved ones, and I think God made them that way. The problem is their loved ones often forget to show their appreciation to them. You know, a Mother's Day card that says, I'm sorry I don't say this the rest of the year, really isn't as good enough, to be honest with you. You might need to say that, but what we need to do is show our appreciation. Listen, God made women to be a help meet, a fitting. It means to go around to help. And the fact is, everybody wants to feel successful. So to be honest with you, I think really most men have shot themselves in the foot, because if you want to feel successful, why don't you appreciate your ladies for what they do?
Well, she knows it. I told her I loved her when we got married. If it changes, I'll let her know.
Now, it doesn't work that way. You know, tell her you appreciate it. Watch this. Appreciate it even if it wasn't necessarily your favorite. That happens too sometimes. But she rises very early in the morning. The ladies, they know some things maybe we don't know. They may be ahead of us on some things. Number two, the ladies remembered. Number two, the ladies remembered. Isn't it amazing how ladies can remember all these things like birthdays and anniversaries and all this stuff? We got some ladies in here who send cards, and they just remember it all the time. You know why? Because they're not so self-consumed as some of us of the other gender. We get lost in what we're doing, and we forget. And ladies, honest, when we forget to give you a card, it doesn't mean you don't count. It's probably me. We can only think of one thing at a time. Now, God forbid if your anniversary is on the same weekend as opening day of hunting season or trout season or the Daytona race or, you know, something real important like that, because because that's what they're going to be thinking about, and they can only open one box at a time. And if your anniversary is now stuck in that box, then you know, you're kind of out of luck. But we're sometimes, I'm not trying to be mean, but or make excuses, but that's kind of the way we are. But it's amazing how ladies can remember all these little things because they care about people. There's something that's nurturing about them. Now watch me. Jesus had told everyone that he would be crucified and would rise again. What did the angel say? The angel said, he's not here, but he's risen. Verse 6, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Jesus told you all about this before he died, so you would know it when it happens. Why are you here looking for the dead people? Now, there is something a little different here. Watch this. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but in Matthew 16, 21, it says this, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's in Matthew 16. He's telling his disciples. Matthew 17, Jesus says again, and they shall kill him, speaking of himself, and the third day he shall be raised again. And it says they were exceeding sorry, his disciples. Matthew 20, he says again, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. In Matthew 27, chief priests and the Pharisees are talking. It says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests, after Jesus was crucified, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Now, apparently, everybody seemed to remember this, except the disciples. Now, the ladies were there, but watch this. They apparently kind of expected to find a dead body just like everyone else. And the ladies were quick to believe and not too proud, though, to change their perspective and position on the events, because it says that the angels talked to them and said, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day raised again. And they remembered his words. Oh, yes. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the leaven and to all the rest. So when it was brought back to their remembrance, oh, yeah, yes, 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 I remember that. Wow, that's what we're seeing. Number three. The ladies rise early. The ladies remembered. But number three, the ladies were dismissed. Dismissed. Everything they said was just kind of shrugged off. You would think that the ladies' announcement would jar the memory of the men, the apostles, but no. You would think, oh yeah, Jesus said he would rise again. I suppose this is what happened. But it didn't. The men thought they had it all figured out in their heads. You know, most men are legends in their own minds. And we've got it all figured out. Look at verse 10, our passage here. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So ladies see the tomb, they see the angels, they see the empty tomb, they see the napkin that was around his face, all folded up in one nice little spot and so forth. They see the clothes and so forth, and they're looking. They said, wait, don't you remember? He said he was going to rise again. He said, oh, that's it. So they go back and tell the guys, this is what happened. This is what said. And it says they were as idle tales. Now, Strong's Concordance says idle tales uses the word twaddle. Nonsense. Balderdash. A far-fetched story with no basis of truth. Those ladies go back and said, this is what's happened. The guy said, oh, I can't be right. Well, he said, well, that can't be right. Had the men not been listening, Jesus had told them over and over. Somehow the men had shrugged it off so far that a resurrection was no longer even in their thinking as a possibility. At least the ladies, when they told them, they said, oh, yes, Jesus said that. But the guys had their mind on something else. Now, by the way, I guess ladies can do this too. I gave you several passages in Matthew. Listen to this. In Matthew, right after that, let me come back. Matthew 16, 21 says this. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things, the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, it be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. In other words, I don't care what you said, Jesus. We're not going to let this happen. We won't let this. So we don't, by the way, we don't need to think about it because we're not going to let it happen. It's done. It's no longer an issue. He said, I'm going to be crucified. Oh, no, we won't let that happen. Threw it away. Matthew 18. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's what happened right after the Matthew 17 quote. He says, he's going to go down to Jerusalem, we're going to be abused, they're going to crucify, I'm going to rise the third day. And in the very next part, the disciples will say, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? That's what they had on their mind. Who's going to be the big shot? In Matthew 20, verse 17, it says, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify him, and the third day shall rise again. Then came to him, next verse, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping and desiring a certain thing. And what did she want? She wanted one son to sit on the right hand and one son to sit on the left hand in his new kingdom. Now he just says he's going to die, rise again. Whoosh. Right over their head. Do you hear me, men? Oh, yeah, all that church stuff. Yeah, so when are we going to get the kingdom set up? Can I be the vice president? Move right on to it. Now, at least the ladies remembered once they were reminded. Now, watch. The guys are saying, well, we can't take the women's word for this. They don't know what they're talking about. Look at verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself, at that which was come to pass. It says to Peter, says, I don't know what to think. If we didn't know better, you would think the ladies were telling the truth. But that can't be right because we would have known about this. They were told, but they weren't listening. Now, I'm going to give a couple points here. Number four. Sometimes we'd rather live our lives assuming we are right and the truth of God's word is just an idle tale. We like to live assuming we're right but the truth of God's word is just an idle tale. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. This is the risen Christ. Drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known these things which are come to pass that are in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now watch. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Now that word astonished means this. To put out of your wits. You could say, these ladies come walking in and blew our minds with this crazy story. Really what it means. Put out of wits. Blew our mind. Can you imagine that? And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Now he just said, we heard all that. But we're sad. Because we thought he was going to be able to do something, but apparently he can't. He's dead. Now, these ladies came in and blew our minds, saying he wasn't dead and he was alive, even saw visions and angels. We were hoping that this Jesus was actually the Messiah that's been promised to us. Even some women said they saw the angel, one saw Jesus himself. And in between the lines, but you know how women are. It's in between the lines here. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's how the guys were thinking. But you know how women are. The apostles even made an official investigation. So they said, out of the way. Detective Peter, Jerusalem Police Department, we're going to straighten this out. And it said, verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found that even so as the women had said, but him, Jesus, they saw not. So they couldn't make a determination of what actually happened.
Well, ma'am, we can verify your facts at the moment. We can't verify your facts at the moment, but we will continue our investigation. I mean, what are you going to do? Just take the word of a few emotional women and believe in such a far-fetched story as someone rising from the dead? Number five.
Our problem is not the women. Our problem is that we do not know the Word of God. Verse 25, Jesus is talking to the two men at the road to Emmaus, and he says this, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him and say, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went into tarry with them. It came to pass as he sat with meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is indeed risen, indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them, and breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Oh yeah, we got this. And then they're screaming like a bunch of kids. screaming like a bunch of kids, "Oh no, there's a ghost in here." No, it's Jesus. Now, didn't we just get finished establishing that? And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? And behold, my hands and my feet, that is I, myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit cannot have flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb and took it and did eat before him. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." These men should have listened to the word of God instead of their own instincts. If the men had listened when Jesus told them these things, they would have had no problem believing the ladies. It was the fault of the men that they did not believe, because they would not hang on to the word of God. Now, number 6, don't discount the thoughts and the words of our women. Don't discount the thoughts and the words. Now, the men assumed that these emotional women had swooned or something and thought they saw something they had not seen simply because they wished it were so. Wait. The women had been at the tomb. They had an account of who, and they had an account of a story and that conversation with an angel. Watch. The grave clothes were indeed there, yet no body was found. Obviously, they noticed that the grave clothes were straightened and the napkin was folded and off to the side. And they were astounded. Why? Jesus is unlike any other man. He had cleaned up his clothes before he left. Anyway, so they knew. They knew what was going on. Now, here's, we say, well, wait a minute. Now, I'm trying not to be long on this, but say, wait a minute. What about Adam and Eve? Didn't Adam get into trouble because he listened to his wife? Genesis 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of our life." Well, yeah. But as my wife has said a few times, don't listen to me when I'm wrong. It's your fault if you're not supposed to listen to me when I'm wrong. Now, we can laugh at that, but men, you have the responsibility for the family, so don't listen to her when you know she's going against God's word. Gentlemen, you're the head of the home, and it is your fault when you listen to your wife when she's wrong. When your wife goes against the word of God, don't listen to her. But hang on. Let me give you number 8. If she agrees with the word of God, then listen to her. Now, hang on here. We're getting something here tight. Or this is important here. If she agrees with the word of God, then listen to her. What that means is, as head of the home, you have the responsibility to know the word of God, so you're able to discern between right and wrong and good and evil. Now, don't just discount the words of the ladies because they're women. Don't be too proud to admit she's right. That's the kicker. I mean, that's a big kicker. Don't be too proud to admit she's right. Don't hang on to a wrong position to try to save face. It only makes us look more foolish. We all know you're wrong, and now you're doubly wrong because you're fighting for a lost cause and won't admit it. Now you're not just a fool, you're a stupid fool. But, next thought, women will believe most anything. That's why she was fooled by the serpent. Wait a minute. You know what that means? Women are trusting, and that's why she was willing to listen to you and marry you. This is why there are usually more women in church than men. Women are quicker to humble themselves and assume others know what they're talking about rather than trying to prove to everyone else how smart they are and how much they know. And by the way, there are women who, in an attempt to be equal with men, have started being just as proud and foolish as men. Don't do that, ladies. God made you better than that, as my mom would say. Ladies, make sure you're getting truth from the source of truth, the Word of God, before you start telling others what they ought to be doing. Your woman's intuition is only as good as the information that has been programmed into your heart. Now, if Adam had listened to the Word of God, Adam would not have eaten the fruit. Adam knew what God had said, and in fact, it sounds like in the Bible that God told Adam, not Eve, about not eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it must have been Adam who told Eve about not eating the fruit. So if there was anyone who should have known better, it was Adam. So he had no right to blame Eve. Men love to blame things on their wives. Stop it. Men have the responsibility to know truth and lead the family in the truth. Whatever Eve said should not have mattered because Adam knew the Word of God and should have led the family. Hang on. On the other hand, how many times has your wife or mother told you to do something or fix something or change something, and the Word of God taught the same thing, and you did not listen to them? I'll confess. There's been some times that I remember when my mom told me what to do, and several months later, I'm thinking, you know what, I'm thinking when she told me, you know, I'm going, you know, but inside I'm saying, she's right, I don't need to do this. And so a few months go by, and I'm thinking, okay, she's forgotten about that conversation. Now I can do it. It's my idea. About that time, she'll say something about it. And then I go, I can't do it now. Because now she's going to think I did it because she told me to. Now I was this close, ladies. I was this close to doing right. But old Satan says, tell him again. And I, you know, and the heart of my heart, you laugh, but you know I'm not the only one who's ever done this. Take your halos off. Now, sometimes we do not listen because we don't know the Word of God, and the reminder the women give us seems foolish because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. That happens. But wait a minute. Sometimes our faith is not as good as a woman's faith. We think we're so smart. Often professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. We prove just how foolish and how hard-headed and stubborn we are. And if the lady clearly agrees with the Word of God, listen to her, even if you're not sure about it yet and faith is small. If it goes along with the Word of God, listen to her. We want more. Sometimes we do not listen to the ladies, even though we know they're right and that they agree with the Word of God. And we could do it if we decided to, but we do not go along with them simply because of our pride, and we don't want some woman telling us what to do. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to reveal everything, guys. Don't get mad at me here. Last one. Man, we need to humble ourselves. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that we're filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. He says you'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. You have a good attitude, rejoicing attitude. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be grateful for everything, even the burnt offering that she gave you last night for dinner. And 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now let me kind of summarize what we all done. Men, listen to the ladies. Know whether what they are encouraging you to do is of God or not by knowing God's word. It is not the lady's position to be the spiritual head of the house. If what the ladies say isn't going along with the scripture, then don't do it. On the other hand, men, do not be too proud to listen to the ladies, even if they think of it before you do, as long as it agrees with the Word of God. Ladies, know the Word of God before you start talking. Now watch this. Your words carry a lot of weight. I've said this before. Everybody else can be against you, but if your wife says it was good, it's going to be all right, then it's okay. I can walk out of this, probably maybe you've experienced this too. I can walk out of here, and everybody in the world may have said, that was a great message, that's a great message. But I don't know that for sure until my wife says, that was a great message. Or everything can be real quiet. And I get no response. I get in the car. My wife says, that was good. Everything's okay. Ladies, you carry a lot of weight with your men. We have egos as big as a cruise ship and as fragile as a Christmas tree ornament. And you hold it in your hand. Now look at this. Adam knew what God had said. We know that for sure. In fact, he wasn't deceived. But watch this. Adam followed the words of Eve, even though he knew he was going against God. Men will go against God sometimes before going against their wives. Curtis Hudson used to say, yeah, but God's merciful. Happy wife, happy life. Make sure you're not pressuring your man to do something against God's word. Make sure what you are adamant about is not just your opinion. Make sure it's just not what you want to happen or want to believe. Make sure it's actually true for the word of God. Make sure you're not just going on women's intuition. Your intuition is going to be led by the information that you've downloaded in your heart and your mind. And make sure you're going by valid facts and not just what you feel is right or best. And if he says no, don't get upset or take it personally. Go back to Peter, that he may be one without the word. Let me say this, ladies, be worth listening to. Your word will carry much more weight in the future if when you speak the truth. There can be a lot of conflict in a home because we do not abide by these policies. Lastly, we need to listen to the ladies. You know what the ladies came back to the apostles and said? He's risen, just like he said. Jesus died for our sins and rose again, and no, we were not there. No, we did not see the resurrection. But the tomb is empty and Jesus is risen. Salvation is paid for, and there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Many a child has been led to the Lord by their mother. The words of a mother carry a lot of weight. The words of a wife carry a lot of weight. Today, those ladies are saying, do you know that Jesus died and he rose again? But what's the rising again so good for? If he's still dead, he's still paying. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to their own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Me, my deacons, my choir members, our members. Listen, there's none righteous, no, not one. And what we earn for being sinners, the wages of sin is death. Now, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. That's a physical death, separated from this world. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, all liars, shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's separated from God for eternity. The wages of sin is death. But the verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, do I really need that? The Bible says you break the law in one point, you break in the whole law. One of the laws is honor thy father and thy mother. You sit here today and think about our moms. Was there ever a time you thought in your heart, mom's stupid? Didn't know what she's talking about. You realize that's all it takes to keep us out of heaven. That's all it takes. Because we come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you ever have a big falling out with your mom, and then she still cooked your breakfast? She commended her love toward you, and then while you're yet a sinner, she cooked your breakfast. She bought you a Christmas gift. She wrapped it with love, even signed it with love. You know what I'm talking about. But God commendeth his love that while we were sinners, he died for us. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Jesus died on that cross, he is paying for the sins of the world, including yours. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to have you get that settled with us this morning. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I know it's time to get out of here. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. I don't know about you, but my mom had given me this and given me this and told me this and told me this and told me this. And I knew she was right, but I was too proud to take it. Until a certain circumstance came up and I felt like I had no choice. I had to get this worked out. Don't wait to do something like that stupid like I did. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. We can take care of it. Let me say it this way. If God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Well, if you would, the Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. The mouth confesses man to salvation. From your heart to God's heart, I can help you call on the name of the Lord. When I got married, I didn't know my vows, didn't have them memorized, but I believed them, and I meant them. We can do the same thing right now. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, you understand you're a sinner, understand Jesus paid for those sins, and if you accept him as Savior, you're going to have eternal life. You mean that with your heart, pray with me right now. Just say something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. But I believe that Jesus died and paid for all my sin and rose again the third day, proving all my sins were paid for. Right now, the best I know how, I accept the death of Jesus as full payment for my sin. I'm trusting him alone for my salvation. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and give me a home in heaven. Thank you for saving me. Now, heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm not going to do anything. I would never do anything to embarrass anybody.